You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
La Pente with Mark Walton and Derek McGovern.
Hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast. We're looking ahead to day 11, which is Monday the 20th of June. Two games to come from Group B, both 8 p.m. kickoffs and a strong British interest with Wales and England in action. Slovakia are the opponents for England and it's Russia against Wales. My name is Mark Walton. We'll be hearing from Derek McGovern along the way as well. He's going to give us his thoughts on the two games. There'll be another edition of the Country Files and a bit of trivia along the way as well. So plenty to get stuck into, and let's get straight into the action. We'll start with the trivia question, as we do at the start of every one of these podcasts. And the trivia question for Monday the 20th of June is, where or in which country was the first message ever sent by radio? So in which country was the first message ever sent by radio? We'll give you the answer to that at the end of the podcast, but let's get stuck into the preview, and we're going to look ahead to the two games in Group B on Monday evening. I was joined earlier on in the day by Derek McGovern to look ahead to the games, and let's start with Slovakia against England.
Live betting commentary on every second of every game at the Euros, only on InPlay Radio and William Hill.
Slovakia 5-1, the draw 9-4. England are 3-4. Derek, England, a draw here would secure the next round. But they're probably not going to have it all their own way against this Slovakia side. They look pretty good, and they've got players like Hamšík who can cause one or two problems. So how do you think England will get on in this final game?
Well, they don't have to win, do they? That's the thing. And yeah, punters are being asked to back them as odds on. You know, it's ridiculous to even think about doing that. A, because, you know, as I say, a point will be enough for them. And B, because they're crap. I mean, Roy Hodgson's been treated as a messiah for beating Wales, but he's not a messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. I mean, there's even talk in the papers about him, his contract being extended as a result of beating Wales. I mean, you know, and they struggled to beat Wales, didn't they? A late goal from Daniel Sturridge, and for the first half, they were absolutely woeful, and they'll never go. I can't see them, even if they qualify, which they have done, obviously, they won't. I can't see them get much further than the last 16 because of the manager. I'm not saying the players are well-beaters either, but you don't have to be well-beaters to win the Euros, as we've seen in the past from Denmark and more recently Greece. You just need to get as much as you can from the players. Well, Hodgson gets as little as he can from his players, and I have no faith in this England team while that emu-faced Chancer is still in charge. I mean, you know, the thing about this game is that a draw will suit both sides, Slovakia and England, you know, and when that happens, you're an absolute mug to back anything but the draw. You know, it's still a big price. It's still, 9-4, something like that, 5-2. Why wouldn't you back it? You know, I'm not saying that the two Nate teams will collude in the boardroom, because international teams don't have boardrooms. They just have bored fans. But the message will have got across even to the dumbest of players. No offence, Harry. That victory ain't strictly necessary. So am I saying in other words that the draw is the better around 5-2? No, those are the exact words. I really can't see either team getting out their own half. I mean, it'll be an absolute ball fest this match, as the whole tournament has been, by the way. And it's to back anything else is to admit insanity.
Just going back to your comments there about Roy, is he not a tactical genius now? He threw all his strikers on a band and then he kind of formation and it worked. The two players.
Well, exactly. You're playing Wales who are camped out in their own box. You don't need any defenders against Wales when they're playing like that. Wales are going for the draw. So it doesn't take a genius to think, oh, hang on, I'll put a couple of other strikers on here, especially the ones that were on the pitch when doing a tap anyway. So, you know, no, I've got a 2-year-old nephew. I'm sure he came to the same conclusion after about an hour, just before Roy did.
It's the mark of a real top-class manager,
though. Well, I said before on the bulletin that the match before the tournament began against Portugal, when they were struggling, they were looking absolutely woeful, and he's standing on the touchline looking like a man who's at a railway station wondering if he's on the right platform. And it was only when Gary Neville had the word in his ear that he thought, oh, yeah, I better make changes here. The guy is a clown, an absolute clown, and yeah, how he is still in a job after what happened in the last World Cup, God only knows.
Yeah, I tried to defend Roy Hodgson before the tournament. I wasn't convinced by him in the first game. He did get it right in the second game, but it was pretty obvious what he needed to do. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked a little bit there. Do you think he will make changes for the final game? That will be my next question. Harry Kane looks exhausted. Dele Alli's not really been his usual sparkling self. I just wonder how much the Spurs season's taken out of those kind of players. We had to see Vardy start. Sturridge played well when he came on. So would you make changes?
Yes, I would. I would. I mean, you'd have Vardy in from the start without question. And I noticed that Hills have closed their betting on which strikers will start because all the money has been for Vardy at 4 to 11. And when punters are lumping on that, I mean, it suggests he will. You can't play Kane again, can you? God knows he'll take the corners. But he's shot to pieces. So Vardy will almost certainly start. And the thing about Hodgson, I mean, I had no respect for Hodgson anyway. About a little tiny smidgen of it, that's gone anyway. Because before the tournament began, he's decided that Harry Kane is his corner taker. Okay, there must have been a reason for that. His dead ball delivery may have been superb, whatever. There must have been a reason, and the players were on board with that. Now, because he takes stick from ex-players like Alan Shearer on the TV, he changes it. I mean, you know, stick to your principles, man. If he thought that Kane was the best man for corner kick duties, why change it after a bit of criticism? I just can't have the guy. Vardy will start. I'm pretty sure Sterling won't. I'm pretty sure Kane won't. But it doesn't matter which 11 are on the pitch. This match will end in a draw.
Do you think it will be a score draw? Do you still think...
No.
Goals?
No, nil-nil. No. Nil-nil I'm on. I'll be surprised if there are that many goals. I think there'll be even fewer. In tournaments gone by, you couldn't wait, could you? You couldn't wait for every game to come on. This one, is it me? Is it just me? Is it caught fire for you, this tournament?
It's been drab, hasn't it, to a large extent. It's the lack of goals. Teams with third place teams going through as well in
well,
some
exactly
situations. It takes the need to win out of a game.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Whichever bird brain at FIFA decided that this should happen in the Euros, I mean, it was an absolute guarantee that teams like Iceland and Ireland and you know, teams that wouldn't necessarily have been there before in a 16-team tournament, it was obvious they were going to just play damage limitation, try and sneak through with three draws. And the tournament has suffered big time. And it's not as if, you know, there are any outstanding teams to rip these smaller minnows to shreds. It's just an absolutely nightmare tournament.
What about unders on the goals? And obviously, you think it'll be...
I'm under on everything. I've backed it under 1.5 goals. And as I say, I've backed exactly 1.5 goals. you can't fool me.
2-1 for under 1.5 goals. If you want to back 0-0, that's 15-2. The draw is 9-4 in that market as well. So you're expecting a pretty damp squib of a game.
The thing is, even if a draw didn't suit both sides, chances are it would be a damp squib of a game anyway, because all the matches have, and England are playing, it's always a damp squib. And now, when you add to that the fact that a draw will put both sides through, well, you know, I don't have to be Sherlock to know what's going to happen.
So those are the thoughts of Derek then on Slovakia against England, and we'll get his thoughts on Russia against Wales in a moment or two. But before we do, it's time for my favourite part of the podcast. It's where we hear from Lee Phelps with some quirky facts about one of the countries taking part in the Euros. And this edition is about Slovakia.
Welcome to Slovakia, where many famous faces have their roots. Angelina Jolie, Audrey Hepburn, Andy Warhol, Paul Newman and John Bon Jovi. There are more than 6,000 caves discovered so far in Slovakia. The most spectacular can be found in the national parks of Low Tatras, Slovak Paradise and Slovak Karst. Many of them represent unique natural wonders, and a huge 34-metre-high sinter column in Krasnohorska is even listed in the Guinness Book of World Records. If tall wooden Gothic altars are your thing, then check the one out at St. Jakub. It's almost 19 metres high. And let's finish on this. Slovakia loves a geyser. They have one that spouts water to a height of 15 metres and it erupts every 1.5 days.
Superb. That's Lee Phelps telling us a little bit about Slovakia there. Then let's move on to the second game taking place in Group B on Monday evening as Russia take on Wales. Once again, we'll get the thoughts of Derek McGovern.
Live betting commentary on every second of every game at 0 hours, only on InPlay Radio at William Hill.
Russia 8-5, the draw 21-10. Wales are 19-10. Wales pretty much through as well. A draw would see them secure second spot. Do you see them playing out for a draw here, or do you think they'll go for Russia, given how poor Russia have been?
Well, it's the answer is strange here. I mean, Russia have been poor, haven't they? I mean, I had high hopes immediately before this tournament for Russia, but something is missing. You know, there's not much to choose in the betting between the two sides. I mean, Russia are narrow favourites. But you look at the population of both sides, 3 million population in Wales, 143 million in Russia. Now, I'm not saying that means that Russia is safe because, you know, see what Iceland have done, and there's only 300,000 people in Iceland, largely because all the women look like Bjork. But, you know, you have to say that Russia at these kind of prices must be worth a bet, because the thing is, OK, they have been ropey, they've been a huge disappointment. But, you know, it's Russia against Wales, you know, and they're still in with a chance of qualifying, Russia. If they win this game, they'll go through. You know, so it's not as if, like, Wales have got, they're playing against a team that are already out. Far from it. I've got to go for Russia here, because as impressive as Wales were in the first match, they disappointed big time against England. I don't know quite what went wrong for Wales, but I mean, they performed an absolute miracle. For 20 minutes, they made England look half decent. I've got to go for Russia here, because I just... Maybe it's just me, because I remember before the tournament, Dave was very anti-Russia, a bit like America. And, he was saying that they'll finish bottom of the group. Well, and I was tipping them outright for the tournament at 80-1. I couldn't believe they were 10 times the price of England. But so far, he's been proved spot on, because they haven't really done anything. But I'm going to give them another chance here, because I just can't believe they should beat odds against as big as this, 8-5, to beat Wales.
Yeah, so as a price play, really, more than anything else.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the thing is, they've been disappointing, right? But there's more to come from them. There's got to be more to come from Russia than what we've seen. There really has. And, you know, I don't think the prices have taken that into account.
I'm not sure there's that much to come from Russia. They've got an ageing squad, they're slow at the back, and players like Gareth Bale running at them if he has a good game. I think that could cause Russia real problems.
Well, we said that Gareth Bale running at the England back four as well, but he didn't get much of a chance, did he? I mean, he got a free kick, which Joe Hart could have trapped with an instep went in, and his first free kick as well in the first game against Slovakia, was it? You know, that wasn't too... Piccoli should have saved that as well. So he's been disappointing. He's an outstanding player, no doubt about it. But so far he's been disappointing, because Wales basically can't get enough of the ball for him.
Yeah. 6-4 to score any time. He has got 2-2, and whilst being disappointing, if he actually turns it on in this game, 6-4 might not look...
Yeah, well, I would never put anybody off backing a player like Gareth Bale to score in a game.
Anybody who thinks Wales will win as well, by the way, Gareth Bale to score in a Wales win has been enhanced on our market. 16-5 out to 4-1. Which I don't think looks too bad. I'm just, I'm struggling to see Russia in a positive light, really.
It may be me. It might just be me. Sometimes you get a blind spot about teams. I had a blind spot all last season against Southampton. I always thought they were underpriced all the time. I opposed them regularly and ended up the season skint. So maybe it's just me.
So those are the thoughts of Derek then. That's his best bets and selections for Russia against Wales. And a bit of a fact about one of those two teams. Which country houses the stadium that has the largest retractable roof in the world? Quite an obvious one, I'd say. It's Wales, of course, with the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. That is the stadium with the largest retractable roof in the world. So that's one bit of trivia. We also had a question right at the start of the podcast as well. I asked you which country transmitted the first message ever sent by radio. Well, the answer to that is Wales as well. The world's first message ever sent by radio was transmitted by Guglielmo Marconi on May the 11th, 1897, from Lavernock Point, south of Penneth. And it was to a mast on Flat Home in the Bristol Channel, which was a grand distance of 3 miles. And that was the first ever message sent by radio. So you learn something new every day on this podcast, and we're just about done. for this edition of the Euros Punt podcast. Just a reminder that you can get all of William Hill's content on audioboom.com. All of the Euros podcasts will be housed there. You can also find the links to them via Twitter, at Will Hill Bet and at Will Hill In Play. And you'll also get plenty of build-up and price updates and so on and so forth on those Twitter pages. Or you can also tune into William Hill's In Play Radio. We have live coverage of every game at the Euros with full betting commentaries throughout the night. So do tune into that. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to this podcast. Good luck if you're having a bet and enjoy day 11 of the Euros.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.